Good morning again, everyone. Good morning again, everyone. Wow. Last week, we began a new series, Loved by the Beloved, and we learned that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. We discovered that there is a deep and divine love affair between God the Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus. And because of that, we are loved by the beloved. The love between the Father and the Son, well, it stems from their divine nature. It stems from who they are, God. Therefore, their love is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And the text that we looked at last week, it tells us about this divine love, that it is freely bestowed upon us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. The infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love that the Father has for the Son, and the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love that the Son has for the Father, well, it is freely bestowed upon us. We are loved by the Beloved, and therefore nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? It's nothing can separate us because it's based upon God Himself. It's based upon God and the love between the Father and the Son. And this brings a great assurance to the believer. Now, last week, I used the upside-down triangle to illustrate that we are loved by the Beloved. And I ask all three services if there is an official term that describes the upside-down triangle, and I want to announce to you that the 11 o'clock service wins. You guys win. Give yourself a hand. Yes. I discovered that through you all that the upside-down triangle is actually called the inverted pyramid. The inverted pyramid. Now, that makes sense. We probably should have all come up with that. I mean, come on, look at it. But it's also the Greek letter for delta. And I should have known that because I studied Greek in seminary, or at least I pretended to study Greek in seminary. But also it's known as nebla in mathematics. Now, of course, I never advanced past algebra 2, and I barely made it past that. So I never got into the calculus and all that kind of stuff. But it's actually used as a symbol. But what I want to do is show you again how this upside down triangle illustrates God's love for us, that we are the beloved. First of all, at the top of the triangle, we have the endless, everlasting, and forever constant love between God the Father and God the Son. And the Bible tells us that this divine love is freely bestowed on us. It is freely bestowed because it's not contingent upon anything else but God. It is free from all human contingencies and all earthly conditions. The Father freely bestows upon us the same love that He has for His beloved. Those who were not the beloved, God has called the beloved. And we receive this divine love because of what Christ has done for us. The scriptures make this clear to us, that God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We receive this divine love because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe upon Him would not perish but have everlasting life. This is love, the Bible tells us, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The Bible tells us that God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. We join the apostle by declaring, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the beloved." This morning, I want us to focus on the fact that we are blessed by the beloved. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, which reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Thanks be to God for his holy and inspired word." Now, I want you to notice that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not just one or two or just a few, but we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. God, through Christ, has blessed us with a new heart, a tender conscience, a submissive will. God, through Christ, has blessed us with faith, hope, and love. God, through Christ, has blessed us with regeneration, justification, adoption, and sanctification. And these just are just a few of the blessings that God has blessed us with in Christ. And notice these blessings that we receive in Christ, they are spiritual, not physical. The blessings that we receive in Christ, they're heavenly, not earthly. And in this highly materialistic American culture, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that material blessings are evidences of God's blessing upon a person's life. But it's a lie. It goes like this: if you have the goods, you must be good. It's a lie. See, God's favor is not distinguished by physical blessings, since God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. Rather, it's receiving these spiritual blessings in Christ that marks God's favor upon us. This is why when you see Christians in the poorest countries in the world, that they're more exuberant about their faith than what we are here in America, where we have everything. See, they don't have the material blessings, but they know that they have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. We should thank God for every physical blessing we receive, because when it gets down to it, we're really, even one blessing is more than what we deserve. But I want to ask you, which is better, a new heart or a new car? Which is better, to feed on Christ or to dine at the finest restaurants? Which is better, to receive God's inheritance of his kingdom or to receive an earthly inheritance from your family? See, the things of this world will pass away, but spiritual blessings in Christ, they will never pass away. Moths eat away, and rust destroys, and thieves break in and steal. But the treasures of every spiritual blessing in Christ, well, they are secure for all eternity. And today, you feel in perfect health, but tomorrow, you receive a terminal diagnosis. Today, you're planning for a vacation, but tomorrow, you lose your job. Today, you're enjoying your family, but tomorrow, you're planning a funeral. It happens. It happens. Remember Job? But God has given you the opportunity this morning to understand that even though things of this world vanish away, that the spiritual blessings of God in Christ are given to you and are secure for all eternity. These spiritual blessings are so secure that they're in the heavenly vault in heavenly places. When I was a young boy, my father took my brother and I to visit Fort Knox, Kentucky. David, you shaved your beard. Wow. That's the David I know for years and years and years. Oh, he's so uncomfortable right now. All right. Well, back to the script here. When I was a kid, my father took my brother and I to Fort Knox, Kentucky. My father wanted to show us where he served in the United States Army, but he also wanted to show us how secure America's gold is. You see, Fort Knox, Kentucky is home of one of the largest gold depositories in the country. It's number three. And the gold that's there is worth over $1 billion. And they don't store this gold in some back closet somewhere. It is secure in a vault. Yeah, the vault in Fort Knox is, the walls are over 2 feet thick of metal that you can't break through. The door itself is over two feet thick, and it weighs over 20 tons. That's a picture of it right there. Now, even though you cannot visit the depository, my father wanted to show us how secure America's treasure really was. So he drove that station wagon down this long road, and we came to a security point where there were soldiers there with guns. And the soldier yells out to my dad, "Friend or foe?" And my dad rolls down his window. You know, you used to have to do it like this. You know, rolls down his window and says, "Friend." The soldier replies back, "State your purpose." And my dad says, "I want to show my boys how secure America's gold is." And the soldier says, "Well, you've accomplished your purpose, sir. Turn your car around and leave the premises." Seems like the soldier had heard that one before. My father gave him a salute, turned the car around, and we went home. Well, brothers and sisters, every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ is secure in a bigger and better vault than Fort Knox, Kentucky. Every spiritual blessing we have in Christ is secure in heavenly places because of the accomplishments of Christ. The Apostle Paul uses this term, heavenly places, 5 times in the epistle to the Ephesians. And this is the only place you find this term used in the Bible. Now, for the Holy Spirit to inspire the Apostle Paul to use this word so repetitively within the book, then it must have a purpose. There must be something that God wants us to understand about these spiritual blessings that we have received in Christ. And I believe that God wants us to know that every spiritual blessing is secure in heavenly places with Christ, far above all rule, all authority, all power, and all dominion. God wants us to know that every spiritual blessing we have is secure. And why? Because of Christ's perfect obedience to the Father and his perfect sacrifice for our sins. God wants us to know that we are actually seated with Christ in heavenly places. And what this means is that all the accomplishments of Christ are ours. We are blessed in the beloved. His righteousness is mine. His perfect obedience is mine. His perfect sacrifice is mine. All the accomplishments of Christ are ours in Christ, stored securely in the heavenly places, so that it is far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And what it means that I am seated with Christ. Therefore, what I have in Christ is far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion in this world and in the world to come. It is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the believer has the spiritual wisdom and the spiritual power to overcome struggles in their life and to stand firm in their faith because every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places in Christ. There is no foe that can steal the spiritual blessing that has been given to us by Christ. And God wants us to know that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and to know with confidence that no moth can consume, no rust can destroy, no thief can break in and steal, because the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Christ are in the heavenly places because of the accomplishments of Christ. We are blessed by the beloved. Somebody say amen. Amen. I was in the grocery store at Publix doing some shopping a few weeks ago. And this woman continually passed me in the aisle going the opposite direction. You know how it goes. You've all been there. You pass the first and the first time, no big deal. And then you come to the next aisle, you pass again, and you just kind of give the nod. It's like. And then by the third time you pass in the aisle, you usually, you know, will give a smile. Hello. You know, it's like you saw each other three times now. And then when it comes to the fourth aisle, you usually say, oh, you like that type of bread too, or something stupid or corny like that, you know. Or you can just ditch the whole uncomfortable experience of passing this person in the aisle throughout your whole grocery store shopping and make the detour. Basically, just spin off and go back to the produce, thinking, you know, making everyone think, oh, he must have forgot something back in the produce. That's the reason why we're not passing one another anymore. But this woman that day was wearing this T-shirt that got my attention. It was a black T-shirt, and on the front of it, white letters, it writes, I am blessed. So when I passed this woman the first time, I thought, well, that's kind of bold. I don't think I would ever wear a T-shirt like that. I am blessed. I mean, what does she mean by that? I mean, it's like, I'm blessed and you're not? Or what does she? I don't get it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love wearing my Daryl Hall and John Oates T-shirt. I do. I love it. Actually, I wore it yesterday. I got three comments on it. I love wearing my Johnny Cash T-shirt. Old folks always come up to me, old folks like me. Oh, yeah, you like Johnny too, right? Yeah. So I understand wearing shirts that people are going to make comments about. But I was wondering myself, should I say something to this woman about her T-shirt? So as we passed down the next aisle, I just fell back and gave her the friendly nod. She nodded back. So as I continue on, I'm thinking, maybe I should really say something, you know, do something more than, you know, and comment about that shirt. And so we passed the third time, and instead of saying anything, I just gave like the strong nod to her, you know, saying, I got you, sister. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed too. Way to represent. You know, that I didn't say anything, but that's what I was trying to communicate, you know. Then I was so disappointed with myself that I didn't say anything. I didn't ask her, so how are you blessed? Or what blessings have you received? Or something. I should say something. And I convinced myself in the next aisle, I am going to say something to this woman about that T-shirt. And you know what happened? She detoured me. She detoured me. No. Now I'm forced with to make one of two decisions. Either I'm going to just let it go, or I'm going to go after her and possibly get arrested. So I decided just to let it go. But as strange as it sounds, the question haunted me for days later. Am I blessed? Why wouldn't I wear a T-shirt like that? And as strange as it sounds, that experience in Publix drove me to the scripture we're looking at today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I'm blessed. You're blessed. Let's just say it together. I am blessed. I'm blessed not in some charismatic or freaky sort of Christian way. I'm blessed because of what Christ has done. I'm blessed. I am blessed by the beloved. Now this word, blessed, it's a Greek word that we know of, eulogy. And the word eulogy means to speak well of. To speak well of. And here the Bible is telling us that God is speaking well of us. God is not speaking names about us that we deserve. God is not declaring liar, thief, traitor, selfish, prideful. No. God is speaking well of us. Why? Because of Christ. God is speaking, in Christ, God is pronouncing a blessing on us. In Christ, God is extending his hand and laying them on upon us and pronouncing blessings upon our lives. He's blessing us with salvation. He's blessing us with the forgiveness of sins. He's blessing us with a newness of life. He's blessing us with victory over temptation. He's pronouncing blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings. So we're so overflowed with blessings, we have to wear a t-shirt that says, I am. No, I don't have one. I know. I thought I was going to have a t-shirt on, huh? But it's true. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. We are blessed by the beloved. Brothers and sisters, our text begins this morning, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth that we've received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, well, this should cause us to be exuberant in our praise to God. This truth should cause us to give praise to God, to speak well of God for his love, which he has loved us in Christ. I don't know how many of you are able to watch any portion of Billy Graham's funeral this last week. If you can find it online or somewhere, you should watch it. And these people got up and they spoke well of Billy. And how, you know, it's like one of the guys says, everybody has a Billy Graham story type of thing. But more than that, more than talking about the man, there was so much praise being given to God for the spiritual blessings that he has given to us in Christ. I saw a headline on a news article that says, Billy's Last Crusade. I'm telling you, if you watch that funeral, that's exactly what it was. Driving people to understand that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would just believe upon him, you would not perish, vanish away, but that you would have eternal life. And God has taken all the blessings that Christ had given to the Father, and the Father has put them in a heavenly vault, secured them for you in heavenly places so that you can have confidence in this world and in the world to come that you are blessed by the beloved. This morning we have a grand opportunity to express our faith to God, to bless God. First of all, you might say, well, how do I do that? Well, you bless God by surrendering your life to him. You bless God by surrendering your heart to him. You bless God by surrendering your will to him. One of the ladies in the first service says, Pastor, you know what you should do is in that last part, what you should do is you should show the upside down triangle again, but make it yellow because it's the yield sign. And that's what you're calling people to do. Yield their life to Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm calling upon you to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. This morning I'm calling upon you to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this morning we have a grand opportunity to profess our faith even more by receiving the Lord's Supper, a time where we demonstrate to ourselves and to the world that we believe that Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his body and his blood, was the perfect sacrifice that God had ever had, will ever receive, and it is secure. That sacrifice forgives us of our sins and secures our place in heaven. Will you believe on Christ today? Will you believe on Christ? Will you confess Christ with your mouth? Will you receive these elements, making a grand testimony of God's love for you? The table set up behind me is the Lord's table. It's not the table of this church nor the table of this denomination. This is the Lord's table. Therefore, all those who are believers in Christ, even if God has drawn you to himself just a moment ago, this table is for you. On this table are simple elements, the bread and the cup, simple symbols showing that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient in all ways to please the Father. And by us receiving those sacrifice, those emblems, we are saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I ask the Lord Jesus to nourish me today so that I might stand firm. The scriptures tell us that we should examine our hearts before we receive the supper. And so as I prepare the table for us and the worship team comes back up, let's just take just a few moments and search our hearts. Really, really search your hearts. Ask yourself, am I blessed? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, expect God to show up and pronounce a blessing on you so you can say, I am blessed in Christ. Let's pray. O God, our Father, you have demonstrated your love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've shown us your love by sending forth your Son to be the one to provide us forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God. You are the Holy One, the one who has perfectly pleased the Father. And Lord, I come to you today asking you in Christ to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life and claim me as a child of God. And Lord, as your children, we come recognizing that we are blessed in Christ and that these blessings are secure for all eternity. But we come to you today, Lord, asking you to spiritually nourish us. We come here today, Lord, to confess our faith that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all things to bring you glory. So, Lord, we receive this meal today, giving great testimony of the goodness that you've given to us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.